Meshech Chochma, we started last week, Parshas Bereishis. Let's continue. And if you could open up to Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Let's just read it inside. So we have the Pasuk, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes Zayin. And the Torah says, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Lemar Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Tochel. So we want to emphasize the word Lemar. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin derives the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach from different psukim, mostly in either Parshas Bereishis or Parshas Noach. And one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach is Gilui Arayos, adultery, and that's derived from the extra word Lemar. And this is based on what we call a Gzeirah Shava, where we find the word Lemar in a different context, in a different pasuk in Tanakh. And in that other pasuk, it clearly indicates that we're talking about Gilui Arayos. We're talking about having a relationship with another man's wife. Shenemar, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Gimel, opens up with the word Lemar, and then it says, Hein Yishlach Ish Es Ishto V'alchami Ito V'aisol Ish Acher. Now, this pasuk has two parts to it. It has a resha and a seifa. We just read the resha. And Tosfos in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Vav, Amud Beis, where the sugya appears, interprets that in fact this resha is the basis for the equation of Lemar Lemar. That's how Tosfos understands it. And he's bothered, says Tosfos, why this equation, this Gzeirah Shava, should really shed a light on our Pasuk in Gilui Arayos, because the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is not addressing Gilui Arayos per se. It's addressing the case of a man who was married. He divorced his wife. She got married to someone else. And then he remarried his wife. And in such a case, there's not Gilui Arayos. There is a prohibition. But as Tosfos points out very well, that prohibition only applies to a Jew. It doesn't apply to a non-Jew. Now, our Gzeirah Shava, shedding a light on the Pasuk here, addresses B'nai Noach. And it's very strange that we're going to interpret Lamar as referring to Gilui Arayos, prohibiting an adultery situation in the case of a Ben Noach, as one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, from this Pasuk of Lamar in Parshas Yirmiyahu, which is specifically referring to a case that's not applicable to a Ben Noach and does not classify as Gilui Arayos. And the Meshech Chochma wants to answer this question. And his answer is based on the Seifa, which means let's not read the beginning of the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, but rather let's read the end of the Pasuk. And the end of the Pasuk says, V'ata zonisa reim rabim v'shuv elai niyum Hashem se'i einayich. And there's an entire Pasuk there which ends with the words V'tachnifi eretz Biznusayich Ubereyasayich. Now, Rabbi Simcha calls our attention to this phrase, Vatanifi Eretz Biznusayach. And this is a reference to adultery, and it has some sort of impact on the Eretz. Now, in order to appreciate the relationship between the word Eretz and the words Nusayach in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, he refers to another Pasuk, which is in Parshas Kedoshim, and to the Sifra in Parshas Kedoshim. So I have a Chumash here in front of me. I'm going to open up to the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, which you'll see here quoted in the Meshech Chochma. And we're in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chavtes. And it says, Al techalel es bitchol az nosa. And then it says, Lo tisne tisne ha'aretz. So the Sifra says that this is an admonition, it's a warning against adultery. And then the Torah adds, Velo tisne ha'aretz. The same two words, aretz and znusayach, that we saw in Parashas Yirmiyah. And the Sifra in Parashas Kedoshim comments that mezinim hein haperos. So Rashi says in Parashas Kedoshim, if you take a look at Rashi al Torah, he says that the impact of znus on the land of Israel is Tisne Ha'aretz. Tisne Ha'aretz is the consequence of znus. What does that mean, Tisne Ha'aretz? So Rashi says, Imata Osaken, if you'll be guilty of Gili Arayis, then Ha'aretz Mizana, the land is going to be faithless. You know, it's just like you were not faithful and you violated that trust and you had this adultery relationship, so too the land itself is not going to be faithful. Mezanes peruseho lasosa memokom acher velo ba'artzoseha, that the trees will not bear fruit in your land, only in other lands. So Rav Meir Simcha points out that this is the impact and the natural consequence of the violation of immorality. It's going to have an impact on the land itself. The Gzeirah Shavah here then, between our Lamar here in Brachos and the Lamar in Parshas Yirmiyah, is not the beginning of the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which is referring specifically to Machzir Grushos Oliachash and Nises, which is a law that only applies to the Jewish people, has no impact whatsoever or application to Ben Noach, and therefore Tosus objects to this logical equation or analogy of Gzeirah Shavah, which Tosus says makes no sense, but rather to the Sefer, the Pasuk, where Yirmiyah says, Vatachnifi Eretz Biznusayach. And how do we know what those words mean? And what's the relationship is Nus and the Aretz that Yirmiyahu is referring to? We can only know that if we open up Parshas Kedoshim, where the Torah says that if you allow your daughter to have this adulterous relationship, then Lo Tizne Ha'aretz, and the Parshas Kedoshim, the Sifra says that Mizinem Es HaPeros, that the Peros will no longer grow in the land, but rather they'll grow in other lands. And the land is not going to be faithful to the people of Israel. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Rei Onsho Shel Dovar, the punishment for Gili Arayos in the land of Israel, Shaperos Mizanin, and that's going to be a result of Atziras Geshamim, the rains will not fall down from the heavens, V'ein Ru'uyim HaPeros Lechol, there may be various kinds of magefos that, or attacks from different dever and so forth, from the, you know, different creatures that going to eat up the peros. And lachen tziva olav lemar mikol eitz hagan achol tochal. What is the relationship here between the lemar, which refers by allusion to Gili Arayos, and the rest of the pasuk, mikol eitz hagan achol teochel? And the answer is that lemar warns us that, and now it's referring to all of mankind, that they should not violate this law of morality of Gili Arayos, and if they live up to that standard, then mikol eitz hagan achol teochel. Then the earth and the trees will do what they have to do. They'll be loyal, and they'll produce the food that we have to eat. Sheyira, we should be very careful shelo yizne b'arayos, because if there'll be a znus of arayos, that's going to mean that you won't be able to eat the fruits of the land. They'll be totally ruined, spoiled. There won't be rains coming down. They won't grow. They'll grow in other lands. And that's what we learn from the Gzeirah Shavah to the Parsha of Yirmiyah. Says Rav Meir Simcha, if this Gzeirah Shavah tells me that when you have a word at the beginning of one pasuk, and the same word appears elsewhere in Tanakh at the beginning of a different pasuk, you can read that entire pasuk until you finally get to the point where there's a logical connection and a bridge that sets up the Gzeirah Shavah. If that be the case, says Rav Meir Simcha, then we can go back to the first pasuk, which is Lamar, and we could read the entire parsha until we finally stop, you know, your finger stops at the point where you want to make the Gzeirah Shavah. And he says, if you start reading this second chapter of Bereishis, and you talk about the Eitz Hagan and so forth, put your finger down and fast forward another, shall we say, 8 psukim beyond that, and it says, Al Kain Yazov Adam Es Ovev Ishto Imo Vidovak Beishto. That's the part of this context of the Lamar that is being compared to the end of the pasuk that opens with Lamar in Yirmiyah, that ends with the Znus and the impact on the land. So that when you get down to the Lamar here in Bereishis Perek Beis, you'll stop at Pasuk Chav Dalet, which tells you, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a man is not allowed to have a relationship with his friend's wife. In other words, adultery is written right here in this parasha. So that the thrust of this Gzeirah Shavah, of Lamar Lamar, is not just to tell us that a Ben Noach is enjoined from Gili Arayos. That we could perhaps have learned independent of this Gzeirah Shavah from the Pasuk Al Kain, V'Dovak B'Ishto, etc. But rather, the Torah wants to tell you what's going to be the repercussions of immorality. And if the people are involved in this kind of a sin, then lo tizne ha'aretz, that as a result, the peros will not be re'uyim lech. Okay, now, in my edition of Rav Meir Simcha, there's another paragraph on this same page, and again we're in the second chapter of Bereishis in Pasuk Tezayin. We are now leaving behind the first part of the pasuk that we focused on with the lemar, and we're going to emphasize now the end of the pasuk. Mikol eitz hagan achol tochel. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Pirush hu mitzvah. I would have said, if not for Rav Meir Simcha, that the Torah is just simply telling me that you're allowed to eat if you want from any fruit of any of the trees except for this one. But Rav Meir Simcha says no. That this is a command. This is a mitzvah. Now, I personally love fruit. I hope you all do. But I never thought of it as a mitzvah. From now on, when I eat fruit, after learning this Rav Meir Simcha, I have to realize it's a mitzvah to eat fruit. Lahachyos nafsho, first of all, fruit gives you all sorts of vitamins or whatever. And number two, even moreover, it's a mitzvah, lehenos mipri agan. Now Hashem is addressing Adam HaRishon, telling him, according to Rav Meir Simcha, that there's a mitzvah to eat from the fruits. Now, I would have stopped Rav Meir Simcha right dead in his tracks. I would have said, Rav Meir Simcha, with all due respect, I know you're a giant and you're very creative and very original, but to tell me that there's a mitzvah to eat fruit, mehecha tesi, I mean, that's really revolutionary. Kamo de Amar b'sof Yerushalmi de Kiddushin, the very famous Yerushalmi at the end of Masechta Kiddushin, people who never opened up Yerushalmi in their lives, they don't know anything about Yerushalmi, but they know this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Asid Adam Litein Din Vechejmin Al Kol Shera Einov Velo Ochal. That Liosid Lavo, a person will be taken to task in his judgment for any fruit or any food that he saw and he didn't taste it. That means that you have to taste every single fruit that God created on the face of the globe, and otherwise there'll be a din v'cheshbon. This is what I call the antithetical thesis of precious. If you're familiar at all with the Mesil Sisharim and many other Musa Sfarim, there's something called precious. And precious projects the attitude that whatever pleasures you enjoy in this world, that'll be subtracted from your merits and your rewards in the next world. So be porish. But this is antithetical. This Yerushalmi has a different philosophy, and Adarabba, you're going to be punished if you were porish when you didn't enjoy the benefits of God's created world. Says Rav Meir Simcha, if this is true, that eating fruits is a mitzvah, then let me ask you the following question. Do you have to have kavana l'shem mitzvah? You know, whatever age I am, but I never had kavana l'shem mitzvah when I ate those pomegranates or whatever I ate. Says Rav Meir Simcha, we paskin mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. And you could be yotzei of mitzvah even without kavana. This is great news. I mean, now I have a million mitzvahs now that I didn't even know about. But says Rav Meir Simcha, there's one proviso. You have to know it's a mitzvah. You don't have to have kavana for shame mitzvah, but you have to be aware of the fact that there is such a mitzvah. And he proves it from a sugya in Psachim about achilas matzah. And the Ran quotes the Ra'ah, that although the Gemara comes to the conclusion that ochal matzah, even if they were forcing him to eat the matzah, he didn't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah yotzah, but only because he knows that on Pesach there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. If he was never aware of that fact, he was a total ignoramus, and he had never been taught that there's a mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach, then that's like having a kavanah in the negative, and he doesn't want to be yotzei. He has to know that there's a mitzvah. He's conscious and aware of the mitzvah. Now he's not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. Then we activate mitzvah srichas kavanah. Says Rav Meir Simcha, I think I have the key to unlock the mystery of two questions. Number one, why did Chava eat from the Eitz Hadas? And number two, who was really guilty of that sin? Two questions that Rav Meir Simcha is now going to answer in a very revolutionary way. Says Rav Meir Simcha, let's read the psukim carefully. Hashem addresses Adam HaRishon and tells him, Mikol Eitz Hadas Ochel Tocha. There's a mitzvah to eat from the peros of every tree. did Adam HaRishon convey this to his wife? Did he transmit that mitzvah to Chava? Says Rav Meir Simcha, V'im Amar HaAdam LeIshto, had man transmitted this mitzvah to his wife, namely, that Hashem Yisbarach Tziva commanded us Lechol Minagan, then Af Shelo Kivno LeMitzvah, had she only been aware of this mitzvah, even if she wouldn't have had Kavana for the mitzvah, Mikol Makom Hoya Kiyuma, she would have fulfilled that mitzvah. She would have a mitzvah saseh in her back pocket, even if she didn't have Kavana, because she was aware of the mitzvah. But he never transmitted this to his wife. And had she only had that mitzvah in her back pocket, had she only fulfilled that mitzvah, which is written at the beginning of this pasuk, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Tochal, then she would not have violated the Lo Taseh of Eitz Hadas Lo Tochal. Why? Because Magen Shelo Lechol Eitz Hadas. If you're given by the Torah an essay and a los aseh, the fulfillment of the essay protects you from the allurement and the powers of the evil inclination to violate the los aseh. But she was unaware of the mitzvah because Adam HaRishon never transmitted it to her. Kevon shelo amar lo b'mitzvas Hashem lechol is therefore lo kima mitzvah. Now, how does Rav Meir Simcha know that Adam HaRishon was negligent in transmitting this mitzvah to Chava? For this, we have to fast forward to Perek Gimel Pasuk Beis. And it says, Mipri Eitz Hagan Nochal. When she was confronted by the Nachash Chava, again, her name was not yet Chava, but anyway, she did not say Ochal Nochal, which means that we will eat because we're commanded to eat. Instead, she said Mipri Eitz Hagan Nochal, meaning we're allowed to eat from any pri. She was totally unaware of the fact that there was a mitzvah to eat from the Eitz Hagan, because she would have said Ochal Nochal. The absence of Ochal Nochal, according to Rabbi Simcha, indicates that she was unaware of the fact that there is a mitzvah. So Vatomer Ishal Nachash Mipnei Eitz Hagan Mipri Eitz Hagan Nochal, but never did she say Ochal Nochal. And the reason for that is because she never got that mitzvah. And then she says, Umipri ha'etz asher b'toch hagan, meaning the Eitz Hadas, Amar Elokim lo sochlu mimenu. When did she mention to the Nachash that Amar Elokim? Only when she gets to the Lo Taseh, when she speaks about eating and being allowed to eat from all the payrolls, she doesn't add the words Amar Elokim. After telling the Nachash that Mipri Eitz Hagan Nochal, then she says Umipri HaEitz Asher B'toch Hagan Amar Elokim Lo Sochlu. Only when she gets to the Lo Taseh does she mention Amar Elokim. And the reason for this is because Adam HaRishon neglected to transmit to his wife that the God had commanded him with a mitzvah, a kiyum mitzvah, like a mitzvah saseh, to eat from all the fruits of the tree. Had she done so, had Adam transmitted this to her, and she would have fulfilled that mitzvah of eating from pre Eitz Hagan, even without Kavon, it doesn't matter, but she would have been aware of the mitzvah, then we would have activated the principle of mitzvahs Einom Tzrichas Kavona. Now she has the Kiyum HaMitzvah in her back pocket. That would have protected her against the influences. That would have given her the Siyata Dishmaya to overcome the temptation to eat from the Eitz Hadas and violate the Lotus. The essay provides us with the spiritual fortitude and power to avoid violating the Lotus. A fascinating insight of Rav Meir Simcha, answering so many different questions. Now, I'd like to fast forward to... Just one second. To Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. So let's just get a Chumash out. And this is the parsh, of course, of the murder of Hevel at the hands of Cain. And one second. And the pasuk tells us the following at the beginning of Perek Dalet. For Adam Yodas Chava Ishto Vatar Vateled Es Kain Vatomer Konisi Ish Es Hashem. So Rashi already points out that Kvar Kodem HaInyan Shel Mala, meaning what's being described here by the Torah, actually transpired before the Chet, even though the Chet has already been recorded, and before they were expelled from the from Gan Eden. So this all took place in Gan Eden. Now Rashi knows this from a statement in the Breishis Rabbah. It says in Breishis Rabbah, Vatar Vateled Es Kain Omar Ablozim and Azariah Gimel Ploim Nasu Bioso Yom. Three amazing things happen on that day. Aleph Bayom Nivru, on that very day they were created. Beis Bayom Shimshu, they had a relationship, an intimacy. And Bayom, Bo Bayom Hotziu told us. They gave birth. She gave birth. Om Rabbi Yeshu Ben Karcha, Olu Lemita Shnayim, V'yardu Shiva. Kain Uta Omaso, so that's two. Hevel Ushtei Tomosov. So Hevel was born with two female twins. So they were triplets. And you have twins and triplets, that's five, plus other Mechava, there were a family of seven. And all this took place on the very day that they were created, before they ate from the Eitz Hadas. Now, what was the situation of mankind before the Eitz Hadas? So Rabbi Simcha, quoting the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah, the Ramban in turn quotes Chazal, says that Michefetz Abore, it was the original intention of the Creator, Sheyu Nitzchim, Bechomer Zach, that the physical, corporeal element of mankind was very spiritual in nature, was very infinite in nature, and man was meant to live for all of infinity. This is the Ramban Shita. The Rambam never accepted it, but the Ramban Shita is that Tchiyas HaMesim will be Guf Uneshama, and after Tchiyas HaMesim, the Guf will live for all eternity. There'll never be a second death. And the Rambam has problems with that because he believes that physicality could not be eternal. But the Ramban is envisioning a different kind of physicality than what we're familiar with. We're in the post-Chet period. But before the Chet, there was a certain kind of goof that would exist eternally, without death. Im kein, ein atolda lios kium nitzchi b'min. we normally would have assumed that by giving birth to a child, a mother is guaranteeing the continuation of the species. She's adding another generation, another brick in the structure. But that's not necessary, because man was created in a way that he will, and his creatures and so forth, his human creations, will live forever. So I don't need the woman to take credit, so to speak, for guaranteeing that there will be generation after generation for all eternity, because one generation itself is sufficient and they would live for all eternity. Lachein Amra, Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. What was her declaration that was the basis of her calling Cain by his name? Hainu Shigdalti Vahosafti Bimitzius Ubimin. According to Rabbi Simcha, the word Kanisi here indicates what's the responsibility, or shall we say the function, of a woman. And that is not to guarantee nitzchius, meaning eternity, but rather to guarantee that there will be a tosefis, that man will expand. There'll be more human beings, Homo sapiens, on the earth. So that's the function of a woman, kodem achet, because man was nitzchi, he was eternal by his very essence, by his very nature. V'zeu sha'amru chazal, dayenu shemegadlos banenu umatzilos osanu menachet. And this is a Gemara Yevamos, that a woman helps a man when he needs help in preparing food, in planting and harvesting and so forth. She helps, and she also protects him against, you know, thoughts about chas v'shalom other women and so forth and so on. He says that's the ezer that she gives to man. Mevi chitin koses shalikim amin lo hayinu tzrichim lo. We don't need her to guarantee that the species will continue to exist, because man, even before Chava gives birth, is going to live for all eternity. But that's kodem achet. Aval yachar achet, now man is going to live and die. So therefore, her role changes. He mekayemes min ha'enoshi. By giving birth, she is guaranteeing that there will be generations to come, and that man will continue to exist, and there will not be a situation in which the earth is desolate of man. Again, before the chait, we didn't need her to play that role, because man, by definition, would live for all eternity. She wasn't mechadish anything. She was only an ezer. She could only help him. But now, after the gzeir of Misa, as a result of the chait, the situation is totally different. Now, she, Chava, by giving birth to the next generation, is going to guarantee the continuous kiyum of the min, because there's no longer a guarantee, because now man will die. Lachein, kara shma Chava. Now I understand why originally man called his wife Ishto. We'll go through the psukim if we get a chance. If you go through the psukim, you'll see lizos yikra ish isha kimi ish lukha zos. Her name was just Isha. After the chait, she's granted the name Chava, which means aim kol chai. Now, after the chait, she's aim kol chai. She really now is necessary to play this role, to achieve her task and her function of guaranteeing that the min will continue. And that's called Chava, Eim Kol Chai Ritzon Olomar, Hi HaRishona Shemekayemes HaMin. She was the very first mother that would guarantee the continuation of the species of man. Now we're going to fast forward to Pasuk Ches, which is not the next piece, but the one after that. Vayomer Kain el Hevel Achiv, Vayhi Biosom Basadeh. Kain said something to Hevel. They were together in the field, and then Kain murders his brother. We don't know, the Torah doesn't spell out what exactly Kain said to Hevel. And in answering that technical question, which is somewhat secondary, Rameir Simcha wants to answer a much more basic question. And that is, how did Kain kill Hevel? I mean, not how, but again, he was jealous, so forth, but what led Kain to do such a horrendous thing? Says Rameir Simcha, a whole new pshat, Yitochev, ki Kain Omar El Libo, that Vayomer Kain first and foremost means that Kain kind of had a conversation with himself. And in this conversation, Kain wants to understand a pasuk, something that God says. So let's see if we can find the pasuk. Just one second, let me get myself a little bit oriented here. Just one second. Oh, I had the wrong page. That's one problem here. Oh, take a look for a moment in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zion. Hashem says regarding Chava after the Chet, Vel Ishech Chukasech, Vehu Yimshol Bach. Just one second. I think I'm missing one pasuk here. I'm not sure. Just one second. Okay. So we'll see if we have to fill in one missing blank as we go along. So let's read Rameir Simcha. He says, Yitochen ki Kain Omer El Libo Shekavodas Hashem Yisparach B'dabro V'elecha Chukoso V'atotim Shol Bo. One second, where is that pasuk? Does anybody have the Chumash open? If you could tell me where this pasuk is, it says here, "Velishech chukasei for who himself bach." Why don't I see? What is he referring to here? Oh. Oh, I finally found it. Sorry. This is Pasuk Zayin. Okay. So we're in Perek Dalet. Hevel brings his karmon, and Hashem accepts Hevel's karmon, but not Kain's. And Kain, of course, is very upset. Vayomer Hashem al Kain, and then it says, Haloim teitiv se'es v'im lo teitiv lepesach hatos rovets. And it says, Ve'lecha tshukaso v'atotim shol bo. Now, this pasuk is the last pasuk before our pasuk, Vayomer Kain al Hevel. Vayhi b'yosam basadeh, vayokam Kain al Hevel achi vayargeu. So Rabbi Simcha is trying to unlock the mystery here of the contiguity of these two psukim. One pasuk says, Ve'lecha tshukaso v'atotim shol bo. And the next pasuk says, Vayomer Kain al Hevel achiv. So that Rabbi Simcha wants to suggest a very profound connection, a very strong connection between these two psukim. When the pasuk says, Ve'lecha tshukaso, Kain misunderstood that this statement of the Almighty was referring to Hevel Achiv. And perhaps we can explain it in the following way, says Rabbi Yisim, Shehevel Mishtokek Elov. That Tshukaso is referring to Hevel, and Elecha is referring to Kain. Hashem is telling Kain that Elecha Tshukaso, and what does the word Tshukaso mean? Shehevel mishtokek elov li abdo ulakchido mina olam. Imagine, it's a Pella, but this is the mindset of Kain. Kain thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of on his side, on Kain's side, and is he revealing a secret of what Kain could not possibly know, meaning what Hevel has in his heart. What was Hevel's intention? And the answer is Elecha Tshukaso. God is revealing to Kain that his brother Hevel wants to get rid of you. Now, I'm not sure why the word Tshukaso in this concept, Rabbi Meir Simcha is filling in a major blank over here. Right? Elecha Tshukaso. He has a certain Tshuka. Hevel, a lech about you. And that shuka means like an agenda, a very powerful, passionate agenda. What is that agenda? That Hashem doesn't tell. But Hashem says, V'ata timshol bo, which basically means you will defend yourself against your adversary, who's a rodev. It reminds me a little bit of Rivka, you know, that she knew that Esav, in his heart, had decided that he wants to do away with Yaakov. I mean, that's just my analogy. Here also, Hashem reveals to Kain, so Kain thinks, that Hevel is really interested in doing him under, in getting rid of Kain. But Aval, Hashem says, don't be angry about this, because at the end of the day, Atot Timshol Bo, you'll be able to defend yourself, and you will subjugate Hevel before he does you under. Hainu Shekayin Yimshol Allah, that Kayan, you will be able to successfully defeat your enemy. And this is simply a case of a nirdaf, someone who thinks in his mind, that's how he perceives it, as if so-and-so wants to kill him, and abola hargucho hashkem lahargo. V'lo piresh divrei Hashem shemechuvanim el chet ukebir atargum. The Targum says, the Asid lispara minach im lota tisov, im tisov yishtavak lach. In other words, Targum Unkelus is going to give us the true interpretation of Pasuk Zion, of what Hashem meant when he said, Elecha tshukosav atatim shalbo, as a reference to the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara wants to do you under, but you can control the Yetzer Hara, the Pesach Chatos Rovitz. That is the true intention of what God was telling Cain, that don't get angry and now you're tempted to want to take out your jealousy against your brother Hevel, because you can control your jealousy. But rather, Cain understood that what Hashem was really saying to him was that Hevel wants to kill you, but you will control Hevel. So Elecha Tshukoso means that he, Hevel, has you, you know, on the kavenet, you know, he wants to do you under. And therefore, Vayomer Cain el Hevel Achiv, Omar Belibo, he said to himself, Shemikavon, Shashem Yisbrach, Mechavein Hashem Yisbrach, El Hevel Achiv. So the El Hevel Achiv is Cain's interpretation of Elecha Tshukoso. That Tshukoso is a reference to Hevel. He's the one who's trying to do you under, not the Yetzer Hara. And Lachein Omer Hashem Yisbrach, now I can understand a pasuk that didn't make any sense to me. It says, Kol dmei achicha tzorkim elai. What does that mean? That I hear the sound of, or the cries of, the blood of your brother yelling out to me. Tzorkim elai doesn't mean crying out of suffering and so forth. Tzorkim elai means somebody who, you know, like demonstrators who get up and yell and say, hey, you no good, Nick. Yirtza, what is the meaning of what Hevel from his grave is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's his petition? Shehu bidvarav kaviyoch, that he, meaning God, with his own words, garam lecharas apol shel kain al Hevel. That Hashem said something to Hevel that was ambiguous. To Cain, that was ambiguous. Cain misinterpreted it, and as a result of God's ambiguity, Cain killed Hevel. So Tzorkim Elai means that now Hevel is yelling at me, and he's pointing a finger of accusation, saying that you, God, were responsible for this murder. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I intuitively sense that a psychologist would have a blast with this chiddush of Rabbi Simcha about how Cain misinterpreted what Hashem said to him, as if Hashem was revealing to him that Cain, your enemy is not the Yetzer Hara, as the Targum Unkelus says, is what Hashem really meant. But rather, your enemy is Hevel. Because, you know, when there's competition between two, and in this case, two brothers, you can see it in both ways. You can see that the loser is jealous of the one who's victorious, but you can also see from another perspective, that the one who's victorious has set up an agenda, a plan to defeat the other brother. I'm gonna up it on you, meaning I'm gonna bring a better carbon, and you'll see that God will accept my carbon and not yours. As if to say that Hevel was scheming and had created a very sophisticated plan and program to see to it that God would reject Hevel. I'm sorry, that God would reject Cain. That's the way Cain interpreted it. In truth, Cain was guilty of his jealousy. Hevel was pure in his intentions, wanting to bring the most wonderful carbon that he could. But Cain saw it as a competition in which Hevel was trying to defeat him, so that when he heard from Hashem, Elecha Chukaso, he thought that Hashem was telling him something about Hevel and his desire. And then Hashem said, V'ata Timshol Bo, but don't be concerned, because you'll defeat your brother who's trying to defeat you. Hevel understood that Hashem was revealing something that Cain had to know, namely that in his heart of hearts, Hevel had plotted to destroy it. Okay, now we'll look at the very next piece in Rav Meir Simcha, that's Dalet Pasuk Chavav. So once again, let's open up the Chumash. This is the last pasuk in Perek Dalet. And the Torah opens up with a discussion about Shase. Shase is the father of Enosh. And then the pasuk ends with five words that don't seem to be connected to the beginning. Oz huchal likro b'shem Hashem. So Rashi says that the word huchal comes from Lashon Chulin, the desecration of something holy. And that began with Dor Enosh. That's how Rashi sees the flow of this pasuk. Oz huchal, Rashi says, Lashon Chulin, likro, eshmos, Adam, veshmos, ha'atzavim, b'shmos shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'asosin elilim, v'likrosim Elohus. So they started calling different beings by God's name. This was the turning point. This was the turning downward of mankind, of Chulin, and the beginning of Avodah Zarah, starting with Dor Enosh. That's how Rashi learns it. However, if you take a look in Targum, he has a totally different take on this pasuk. He learns that Biomai Chalu Bnei Enosh Militzala Bishma Dashem. Now, I have a sefer here on Unkelus. Maybe by chance he says something here. But I don't want to hold us up because we have very few minutes left. So if anybody wants to stay a little bit longer, B'li Neder, I'll climb up to the top shelf here and take down this Yein HaTov on the Targum and see. But in any event, one thing is clear, that Unkelus is not talking about Avodah Zarah at all. He's talking about prayer. He calls it Tzlah. So something happens at this moment in terms of prayer, according to the Targum Unkelus. And here's where the Meshech Chochma puts his right foot forward. And he says the following. Hine, v'parsha shel Kayin, lo ksiv rak Hashem. If you notice, and you're careful about it, you will see that in the whole story of Cain, which is at the beginning and the bulk of this chapter, of chapter Dalet, The name of God consistently is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why is that so? Because the Parsha of Cain is the Parsha of Karbonos. This is the first generation of mankind after Adam and Chava, and they are dedicated to bringing Karbonos. Hevel brings his Karbon and Cain his. Why is it so important that the name of God is Yud Kei Vav Kei? Kvo Sha'amar Ben Azai, Sof Menachos, Ben Azai says that if you look carefully, the Parsha of Karbonos, the only name of God that appears consistently is and exclusively is Yud Kei Vav Kei. There's no mention of Kel, of Elohim. It's only Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the reason for that, says Ben Azai, is Shelo Litein Pischon Peh Lebal Din Lachlok. Kidei Shelo Yitein Pischon Peh Leminim Lomar Shemakrivim Chalil Leza Koach Nifrad V'Kayotzi Boseh. In other words, the name Elohim is indicative of what we call Bala Kochos Kulam, God as the source for all these powers in nature. Within the context of Elohim, there's room for Avodah Zarah. You begin to look at these powers and attribute to them the status of original sources. And now Rabbi Meir Simcha wants to tell us that Likros B'Shem Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, is an allusion to the Parsha of the Karbonos. The Hine Achrei Shehevel Nerag Avur Karbonos. So although it's a wonderful endeavor that the people on the face of the earth bring Karbonos, but nevertheless, this led to the murder of Hevel. Is Pasku Anshe Ador L'Akriv Karbonos. They realize that Karbonos is a dangerous enterprise. It creates jealousy and it can lead even to murder. So they refrained from bringing Karbonos. Ah, if that be the case, then the Karbon, which is meant to publicize Yud Kei Vav Kei, meaning that there's one God and only one God, we worship and we serve only one deity, and take away the word, the name Elohim, which lends itself to possibly the Mikshal of Avodah Zarah. Now they're no longer bringing Karbonos. So the Pasuk wants to tell me, how will they now achieve their goal and their responsibility of publicizing the name Yud Kei Vav Kei and declaring that there's one God and only one God? Ve'huchal likro kulam b'shem Hashem. Now, instead of Karbonos, they called out God's name. Ritzon alone, what does this mean? Shepirshamu avodas Hashem yisbarach ashkechaso al yidei Karbonos. That originally they would use the Karbon as the conduit, the method by which they would publicize the avoda of Hashem, God's absolute, exclusive, His unique oneness as the only deity and the providence of God on this world. But now, they no longer have that method of publicizing that there's one God. They can no longer use the Karbon as that method because they realized that the Karbon was a very dangerous, potentially dangerous enterprise. So now they need Likro B'Shem Hashem. Where do we find Likro B'Shem Hashem means to publicize the oneness and the unity of God? We find this by Avram in Parshas Lech Lecha. We'll find it by Yitzchak in Parshas Toldos. Vayiven Mizbeach Vayikro B'Shem Hashem. If this be the case, then the Sefer of our Pasuk Chavov has nothing to do with the Reisha, has nothing to do with Sheis and Enosh. On the contrary, we're at a turning point in which man finds an alternative for Karbonos to achieve the same goal. And what is that alternative? It's going to be Tefillah. That's what the Tag of Unkelus has in mind. If you don't have a Karbon to publicize the name of God and His unity, then the substitute, the fallback, is going to be Tefillah, is going to be prayer. So, Az Huchal Likros B'Shem Hashem is a reference to tefillah. And the Uz is critical over here. The Uz is a wedge between the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk, telling you that what's coming up at the end of this Pasuk is a reference to the beginning of this Parsha, namely the Parsha of Korbanos. And Uz, in the aftermath of the murder of Hevel, Korbanos was no longer a conduit to serve this function of Pirsum Shem Hashem. Now they had to find another outlet in order to achieve the same goal, and that was Tefillah Likros B'Shem Hashem. Umusav Uz Al Shalamala. The Uz is like an arrow that tells you to go back to the beginning of this parsha. And I'll show it to you in a parallel way in the parsha of Ekev in Sefer Dvarim. It says, B'eis Hivdil Hashem Eshevet Levi. So here we have to open up to Perek Yud in Sefer Dvarim Pasuk Ches. It says, B'eis Hivdil Hashem Eshevet Levi. And the psukim before them deal with the Masos, where they went and where they encamped. What does that have to do with B'eis Ahi Hivdil Hashem Eshevet Levi? The answer is that this pasuk is not going back to the two or three psukim before it that record the Masos, but rather it's going back to the beginning of the parsha. And the beginning of that parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu castigates the people because of the Chet HaEgel. And as a result of the Chet HaEgel, Hashem chose Shevet Levi, Oz Hivdil, B'Esahi Hivdil, Hashem is Shevet Levi. V'Zenochon B'Kavonis Uklus. So similar to what we find there, he's using that as one example where at the end of a parsha, the Torah is giving you an arrow to go back to the beginning of the parsha. Here too, this Oz is serving as an arrow to tell you to go back to the beginning. To the beginning of the parsha. Now, officially, we ran out of time. I just want to look up the Targum Onkelos, but if you don't mind, if you can stay just for two more minutes, then open up. I left this for the end because it's a very profound Rabbeinu Simcha that requires a lot of work, but I just want you to be aware of it. Nasa Adam B'Tzalmenu. This is Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Vav. And Rabbi Meir Simcha has a brand new take on what is Tzelem Elokim. And he says Tzelem Elokim means freedom. Freedom of choice. Just like God has freedom of choice, so too man is B'Tzelem Elokim. He also is endowed with freedom of choice. And why is this such a phenomenal breakthrough on a philosophical level is because God knows exactly what you're going to choose. But Yidiyoso Eino Machras HaBechira. How is it that God knows what I'm going to choose, and yet I have freedom of choice? And he quotes the Rambam here, that God's knowledge is a different kind of knowledge, qualitatively. It's part of the Atzmus of Hashem. And it's not like our knowledge, which is external. You know, you have the human being and his knowledge. God and his knowledge is one, and that does not undermine our freedom. He says that even though we can't understand and comprehend what it means that God has this knowledge, this yediyah, and what's the quality and the nature of that yediyah, in such a way that it's part of his essence, his with a capital H, so that it doesn't undermine Bechira, we can't understand that. If we could only understand that, then we would be God himself. Meaning man could never aspire to understand and comprehend this concept of God's yediyah, which is his atzmuso, his very essence. However, what we do know is there's something called tzimtzum, which is a very common Kabbalistic concept. And what Hashem is doing here, in order to allow for man to have freedom of choice, is he's being mitzamtzem his yediyah. In other words, even though he knows what you're going to choose, he withdraws or contracts that knowledge. That's called tzimtzum. And therefore, meiniach makom lebruav, he leaves space for man, lasos kefi ma sheyivcheru, to act based on their own decision. And man now can be poel, and God rejects his knowledge, his gzera, that he absolutely knows what man is going to choose. And this is based on what's called tzimtzum. V'lachein, Omar, now we understand the pasuk. Before it says, Nasa Adam, B'tzalmo, it says, El Libo. And God is speaking here in human terms. And what is God saying, El Libo? What is he saying to himself? Kaviyochol. Nasa Adam B'tzalmenu. Tzalmenu means with Bechira Chavshis. Sha'amar Naniach Mokom L'Bechira Sa'adam. Sh'lo Yeh Mukrach Mif'olav. U'mechuyav B'machshavosav. Yeh Bechiri Chavshi Lasos Tovo Rak Kasha Yichpots Nafsho. V'yochol Lasos Dvarim Neged Mizgo Hativi. V'neged Ayosher B'ni Hashem. So this is what Hashem was saying El Libo. As the pasuk says, it nasa odom itzalmenu, itzalmenu meaning that we will remove any force that would force man to make a certain decision and act in a certain way, even though we have these machshavos, even though God says, I know what man is going to choose, I am going to be mitzamtzem and allow man freedom, freedom of choice. So, honestly, I'm absolutely thrilled that our translation of the words of Unkelus here at the very end of Perek Dalet is a correct translation according to the Ein HaTov, that it means, Heschilu b'nei Adam lispalel b'shem Hashem. So, Heichelu, huchal doesn't mean to desecrate, miloshen chulin, but huchal means to begin, and likros b'shem Hashem means tefillah. And in the footnote, he writes, "Hischilu tzaddiki ador lidrosh l'rabim b'shem Hashem." Now he wants to somehow reconcile this with Rashi. "Ki hutzruchu listar deos ovdei avodah zarah shehischilu os." In other words, he wants to make a combination of Unkelus with Rashi. Rashi's pointing out that this was the point in history when avodah zarah started becoming rampant. And Unkelus is telling us that the tzaddikim of the dar realize that they have to take measures to offset the spread of these deos, of these ideologies of idolatry. And what steps did they take? They started to be doresh b'shem Hashem and to be mispalel. But again, let's keep in mind that there's a fundamental difference here between Rashi and the Targum in terms of the word huchal. Huchal, according to Rashi, means chulin, desecration. And the Targum says that huchal means laschil, to begin. Okay then, so that's something that is very...
interesting.
Yeah.
You're saying that this Rashi here, it brings up the Yud Kei Vov Kei, when it starts using Yud Kei Vov Kei on its own. Well, the parasha, the very beginning of creation, it's all Elohim.
Right.
And the parasha of Adam and Chava, where they descend, it's Hashem Elohim.
Right. And then we get to the parasha of the Karbanos, and in the parasha of Karbanos, it's just Yud Kei Vov Kei. Why? Because that's the entire way and purpose of Karbanos, to indicate that God is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Once you start bringing Karbanos, that worship, that service could bring to a michshol of worshipping other powers on the face of the universe, and that becomes very dangerous if the name Elohim is being used. We have to avoid the name of Elohim, and that was Ben Azai's drasha. And within the context of Karbanos, you have to be super duper careful to use only exclusively the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And if that be the case, then once again, here in this pasuk, Oz Huchal Likros B'Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, should have some connection with the Yud Kei Vav Kei at the beginning of this perek, which deals with karbanos. And now we can say that Oz Huchal, if we take the Targum, they started publicizing the one name of God, meaning that God is only one, there are no other deities to be worshipped, in the context of tefillah, and it sounds very similar to the avoda of Avram and Yitzchak, of calling out in the name of Hashem, which means to make sure that people publicize that there's only one God, one deity, and not to worship any other powers.
Thank you very much.
You could say in Rashi when he says Noshin Chulin, he's in Chulin as opposed to Kabonis, which is a bit of a title.
Well, let's see. I'm going to read the Rashi to you again. Rashi.
I'm not the second part of Rashi. I'm just saying.
Oh, just the first part of Rashi, you say.
When he says that Huchal is a Noshin Chulin, you could say it's Chulin as opposed to Kabonis.
Ah. Well. You know, there's still a very far cry from chulin that's not karbonos and tefillah. You know, I wouldn't say that if Rashi had in mind as uncle is tefillah, he would use the term chulin. I wouldn't call tefillah chulin. The contrast here is a little bit off. Now, getting back to the pasuk that we mentioned earlier about Chava the Eitz Hadas in Perek Gimel. And Chava herself says, "Vatomer Yishal Anachosh Umi Priya Eitz Asher B'Tzoch Hagan Omar Elokim Lo Sochlu Mimenu Pen Temusun." And yet the Nachash was able to convince her. "Vayomer Anachosh Lishal Lomos Temusun." I mean, how is the Nachash able to convince Chava? And Ramir Simcha has a unique approach here. Let's see if we can find it inside. He writes, "Ha'inyan mavur ki anachash ba b'muskal." In other words, the nachash has a tremendous intellect. "Lemar lehem ki ein kavanas habori lebli le'echol mimenu rak." God indeed wants you to eat from it. God wants you to get close to Him, and the way to do this is by completely destroying Ra, to overcome evil. I mean, just reach this state of absolute goodness. In Ratzon Hashem He Kimi avas hamuskal v'cheshek liskarvus alukus ladas tov amiti tasu zos b'mesirus nefesh v'chefetz ovdas hachaim zmani v'nitzchi rak de lasos liskarv alukus v'oz tatzlichu v'taskilu v'lachein tziva lachem she'im tochlu tamus. God wants you to do this action out of Mesiris Nefesh. And therefore He told you that you would eat and then die. So reading Rav Kuperman here in the footnote, he says that Atachlis Horitzuyetz Hashem Hiche Tedu Tov Vera Almanas Liskabel Ara Levatlo Ubozetis Ndamu La Kodesh Baruch Hu Atzmo Vitiskarvu Elov, his karvazu hi hatachlis or tsuya bi enov, vi omnam lotziva oleha bimafurash, ki efshar lagia eleha ela al yede moves polomaze uba oloma ba, vakrava kazos lo dorash michem. So God didn't demand of you that great ultimate sacrifice. That would be too much to demand of you. But that's the way that you really achieve this closeness to Hashem. V'yoz tatzlichu v'taskilu l'kach tziva lachem shim tochlu tomus v'afol pichen. Kol Kol shiyomer balabais asei chutz mitzei bimchitzoso v'inon amashkich mebasko umosrim atzmam ba'aveda shnei holomus rak v'shvil hinchil kovod elokim v'skarvuso v'zal derech aver l'shma v'ubemes chafetz chifetz Hashem ha'miti v'zeh shomer lo mos to musun. And that which the Nachash said, you will not die, Pirusho lo, kasher atem dovrim, not the way you say it, but rak mos tamus, and Pirush shetamisu atzmechem, kidei lahasig his karvus lelukus ha'amitis. Bezeu, ki yodei alukim ki v'yomach alchem imenu, and in fact, what was achieved, the exact opposite goal of Richuk Melukim. Zo Shomar Bore Shetzi Visicha Lebilti Achol Mimenu. Shizo Chefetz Amiti Ushlemus Ritzoni Lo Kasher Hiramcha Hanachash. Now, let's take an idea here from the Reishis Chachma to explain this Gemara in Pesachim of Kol Ma Sheyomer Baal Bayis Asei Chutz Mitzei. A guest in someone's house, which should be understood symbolically here in this context as a sinner, must understand that even if the Baal Bayis, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to remove him from his home to excommunicate him for the evil he has committed, the sinner must continue to cry to Hashem with sincere tshuva, never to give up, for Hashem really wants the tshuva of any chote. Hashem pushes a person away just to test the sinner's sincerity, to desire to regain his dveikus b'Hashem that he had lost. The Meshech Chachma is going to use this to explain why Rabbi Yoshua, when arguing with Rabbi Eliezer in Bab Metzia Nuntes Amid Beis, was able to declare Lo Bashamayim he. Achrei Ravim Lahatos is, although the Rabbanim disagree with Rabbi Lazar's opinion, Ashkofa is not ruled in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, even though Baskol agreed with Rabbi Eliezer and supported his position. And why would Hashem send a baskel to contradict a precept of the Torah? And Rabbi Meir Simcha apparently believes that this is a test to see how secure we are in our faith in the Torah and our willingness to defend the Torah even when we are enticed by a baskel. So when Chazal told us that Aver Lishma is greater than a mitzvah shalo lishma, it means that Hashem truly loves someone who's willing to give it all up in this world and in that world for an intense moment of increased divekus b'Hashem. All right, I see we ran out of time, so this is where we're going to stop. I wish everyone a great Shabbos. And again, there's more to study here about the strategy of the Nochash and how he convinced Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, Lomos to Musun, and you have to put a comma here, Lo, and then Mos to Musun, and you have to be willing to give up everything, both this world and next world, to come closer to Hashem. So we really covered today in Mirtz Hashem quite a few insights of Rabbi Meir Simcha. We spoke about the mitzvah of Achila, which was not transmitted to Chava by Adam HaRishon. We spoke about Nasodim B'Talmenu, the Bechira Chavshis, and God's Meat of Tzimtzum. We spoke about the derivation from Lamar of the Isur Gilui Arayos, and we spoke about the difference between the Targum and Rashi regarding the Pasuk Oz Heichel. We spoke also about what mistaken interpretation of the words of God brought Cain to kill his brother Hevel. So let me wish you all a fabulous Shabbos Breishis, and if I don't speak to you beforehand, a happy Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshbon.